Today we'll look at the approachability of Christ. Get ready, because here we go. Happy fifth day of Christmas. Make yourself at home. I've got plenty of seats here up in the front. My name is Gary Zimek. I'll be here with you for another 30 minutes on this program. Today we're going to take a look at, of course, the readings from the fifth day within the octave of Christmas. We'll also take a look at and meditate a little bit on the approachability of Christ. Isn't it amazing that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is very approachable? We can approach Him no matter what we, no matter what we do for a living, no matter how much money we have, no matter how important or unimportant we are. He's very approachable to us. And I have a little meditation I want to share with you about that. Certainly, that's not the way the world works. You know yourself, if somebody is considered to be important or famous, we can't get anywhere near them. But yet Jesus Christ, the most important person that any of us could ever get to know, is incredibly approachable. So the really neat thing about that is we should take advantage of His approachability. I hope you're having a good day. Hope you're having a good octave of Christmas. I think it's really neat. I was at daily mass today, and it's really obvious that this is still a celebration, that we still are celebrating Christmas, because we say the Gloria every day. I think that's really cool that we do that. One of the ways that the church reminds us that we should be celebrating, and yes, we should still be wishing one another a Merry Christmas. We don't want to just do it for one day on December the 25th and stop. We want to do it every day. And, you know, let's continue to do that, and let's be grateful that the Savior made the decision to become one of us, to become flesh and to offer Himself as a sacrifice for us so that we could be redeemed. It's an amazing thing. I was having lunch with my friend Roger today, and we were talking about this over lunch, the fact that we were redeemed. And it's amazing. It's amazing that sometimes we can be in a complete funk. Now, the weather around here has been very rainy over the past few weeks. I don't even remember the last sunny day. We've had warm weather, but we've had a lot of rain, and it gets gloomy. So what happens with some of us? I tend to be affected by the weather. I don't like it, but sometimes when it's really rainy and overcast and cloudy, I start to feel like I'm dragging a little bit. And if we're not careful, what can happen is we can let that really affect our mindset, our temperament. And we want to be able to appreciate and be joyful for the fact that we have a Savior who redeemed us. How do we get past that? And this is what Roger and I were talking about today. And I think that even though I have this tendency to get down sometimes, you know, part of it's my nature, part of it's the fact that I tend to get affected by the weather, I believe. What I need to do is work at it. And I think we have to remember that we can control our thoughts. We can turn to productive activities when our mind starts to maybe race about problems or we feel downcast. We can always open up our Bible and encounter the Lord through the pages of sacred Scripture. That works for me. Spending time in His real presence, that's another great thing. If you're able to get to an adoration chapel or to a church and pray before the tabernacle, just sit there and be in the presence of the Lord. I mean, certainly you can also turn on some Catholic programming on TV or the radio. There are a number of different things that we can do to get out of this funk that we find ourselves in sometimes. But the important thing to do is something. We've got to do something, because if we just sit there and do nothing, we could easily begin to feel sorry for ourselves and let our emotions run wild. See, what we have to do is control our thoughts, which we can do. We can control our thoughts. We can control our actions. Can't always control your feelings, but generally what I found is if I start to read the Gospels, I start to become more peaceful and I start to feel more optimistic. Or if I'm in the presence of the Lord, either at church or the Adoration Chapel, I start to feel that way too. So if you're struggling, and you know, this is a tough time of year, especially after Christmas is over, New Year's is over, a lot of people get really down. I don't know if it's necessarily depression, but they do get down. January can be a tough month, and in actuality, the holidays in general can be tough for many people. It can be a lonely time. So this is a challenging period that we're going through, and we need to do something. We need to do something productive to counter these feelings that we have. And honestly, the fact that you're showing up here, I'm proud of you. I think this is great. I love to have you here around my table every night because we can talk about Jesus. We can talk about positive things. I'm not going to give you negativity here. I'm going to give you positive information. We'll talk about Scripture. We'll read Scripture. We'll listen to some good meditations. We're going to keep our minds focused on Christ. And know that you are in my prayers too. So if you are struggling, I'm going to be praying for you. And I would ask you to please continue to pray for me as I head into a new year and begin my fifth year of full-time ministry. Wow, it's hard to believe that we've been doing this radio show for 5 years now. We're now in our sixth year, and on January the 6th, I begin my fifth year of full-time ministry for the Lord. I just can't believe it's lasted this long. He's been very good to me. He's opened up some incredible doors for me, and I thank you for your support of this show. And I hope to be here for a long time to come. Now, just to let you know, for the remainder of this week, we'll stick with the Christmas theme. Next week, we'll go back to our regular Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday themes. Slight changes coming from what we did before the Advent retreat. I'll let you know later in the week what they will be. But we'll still read the Scripture readings every day. So you're going to get your dose of the Bible here on the program. Plus, you're going to get some other themes, different themes every day, and I'll let you know later in the week what they will be. The Lenten retreat, God willing, begins here on February the 10th, which is Ash Wednesday. Yeah, believe it or not, Ash Wednesday is coming right up, not too far away, February the 10th. I'll let you know what we're going to be doing. I have an idea, but I want to pray about it a little and make sure it's what I want to do, but I think you're going to like it. And of course, I reserve the right to change my mind, or the Holy Spirit can change my mind, and that's something that happens. That's why I don't want to tell you, even though I know what it is. I'm going to tease you a little bit. I don't want to tell you right now because I want to make sure this is the right theme to use for the Lenten retreat. But at any rate, I do hope you'll join me for the retreat. I'm excited about it. In between now and then, we're going to go back to our regular themes. We'll do a different daily theme each night, and even through Lent. Even through Lent, we will read Scripture every day. So that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. But stay tuned for more information about that. All right. If there's anything that I can do for you, or if you would like to invite me to speak at your parish, or if I can answer a question, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Of course, you can go to followingthetruth.com. to find more about my work, about the books that I have a new book coming out in February, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps. And I'm not kidding about the amazingly easy part. It's tough sometimes. How do we become friends with Jesus? Well, I've been struggling with this for a long time, and this book is the fruit of that struggle. It was a good struggle to have, but, you know, I still ask myself sometimes, do I really know Jesus enough? And I really think that's an honest question that we can continue and should continue to ask ourselves. And we should always strive to know the Lord better. But this book, I think, will really help. Find a Real Friend in Jesus. You can pre-order it now at Amazon.com. You can go to followingthetruth.com for more information about that. All right. You know what? Before we pray, here's what I'm going to do. The beverage du jour. All right. Does that sound like Mystic Monk candy cane coffee? Well, if it does, you are correct. That's exactly what it is. Mystic Monk coffee, the best coffee that you will ever drink. I'm proud to be an affiliate of the monks in Cody, Wyoming, who brew Mystic Monk coffee. If you want to get yourself some of the greatest coffee that you've ever had, visit followingthetruth.com and click on the Mystic Monk image. That's one way. You can keep my show on the air. You can keep my full-time ministry going. Another way is to click on the Amazon.com link on my website. That goes into Amazon using the link on my website. And what that does is that results in a profit for me, a small commission, if you will, for any purchase that you make. So if you're going to shop from Amazon.com, I'd greatly appreciate it if you just use that link. from my website. That really does help me out. Every little bit helps, you know, and I'm very grateful for your support. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for the many blessings that you've given to us. We thank you for your magnificence. We thank you for your splendor. We thank you for the fact that you have created the entire universe out of nothing. I'm in awe when I think sometimes of your power. Please help me to appreciate you and your power even more than I do now. Father, I ask you to help those who are sick, help those who are lonely or anxious, help those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who may be battling addiction, those who are fighting depression right now, those who might be struggling financially or dealing with religious persecution or maybe dealing with an extreme weather situation. We ask that you please help them, allow them to feel your peace. Father, I give you this program today. I ask you to speak through me on the show. Please speak the message that you would like to have spoken on this show. I would ask you to open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We also ask that you bless our priests, our religious, our deacons, and we ask that you increase vocations. Help us know what it is that we can do to draw other people closer to you, and give us the strength that we need. Give us the strength that we need to be able to share our faith with others. And we ask for all these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, as we do each night, and we ask for her prayers. As together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us, and good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning into the program. My name is Gary Zimek. In case you're a first-time listener, welcome. You know you're always welcome here. I love to hang out with you every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, you can also get the program download. You can download the podcast through iTunes, as well as going to followingthetruth.com. If you go to the radio page, you'll be able to listen to the last five programs right from the website. So there are several ways you can get the show. All of them are totally free of charge. And the reason they're free of charge is because of your support. I'm able to do that because you've helped me financially, and that's the reason that I can deliver these programs free of charge. I don't want to charge for it. I want this show to be free, and praise God, for 5 years now, we've been able to keep it free, and I'm really grateful for you. I really am. I say it a lot, but I really mean it. Okay, let's see what we have here. Let's look at the readings from... I love getting into the mass readings. You know, I was having lunch with my friend Roger. Roger listens to the show sometimes. We become good friends. He's in the area. We grew up in sort of the same area of the country, the Philadelphia area. And I was telling him, I just love being able to share these scripture readings with you. And it really helps me to grow spiritually, too, because I just love sitting around letting the Lord speak to me through scripture and then sharing some thoughts with you about these passages. I hope you enjoy this feature. I think it's something that has to be a part of this program. I wouldn't want to do it without reading these daily mass readings every day. And I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. Again, we're reading the readings for the fifth day within the octave of the Nativity of the Lord. The readings for Tuesday, December the 29th. The first reading, as are the readings all of this week, is from the first letter of St. John. And as you learned from yesterday's first reading, St. John can be tough. He doesn't pull any punches, but he tells us what we need to hear. Today it's 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. Beloved, the way we may be sure that we know Jesus is to keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. This is the way we may know that we are in union with him. Whoever claims to abide in him ought to walk just as he walked. Beloved, I am writing no new commandment to you, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. And yet I do write a new commandment to you, which holds true in him and among you. For the darkness is passing away, and the true light is always already shining. Whoever says he is in the light, yet hates his brother, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother remains in the light, and there is nothing in him to cause a fall. Whoever hates his brother is in darkness. He walks in darkness, and he does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, listen, St. John's really clear here. How do you know that you know Jesus? He says it in the first line of this reading. The way we may be sure that we know Jesus is to keep his commandments. Are you keeping his commandments? Which ones? All of them. If you fail to keep his commandments, as I do, I'm not going to lie to you. There are commandments that I don't do a good job at sometimes. I don't obey every commandment that the Lord has given to us. Sometimes he tells me that I have to love my enemies. Well, I don't always have loving feel. I don't always love my enemies as I should. Now, I was almost going to say loving feelings. Love isn't a feeling. Love is an action. So what I need to do, at the very least, if I have an enemy or if I have somebody I don't like, I better be praying for them. Doesn't mean I have to take them out to dinner, but I should be praying for them. I fail to do that sometimes. It's something I'm working on. And there are a lot of commands that Jesus gives. If we get to know the Gospels, it's more than just the Ten Commandments taken at face value. Yes, thou shalt not kill. We all know that. But it goes beyond just killing somebody. And if you look in the Catechism, you're going to see that it goes on to cover such things as anger. There are more ways to kill than to just kill somebody in a physical sense. So the bottom line is that we all fail to keep these commandments sometimes. That means that we don't know Jesus as much as we think we do. Should that get us discouraged? No. What it should do is motivate us to work harder. If I know that I'm not keeping all the commandments, and if I know that sacred scripture tells me the way I can be sure I know Jesus is to keep his commandments, what does that tell me? That tells me that I need to work on this. I need to work on it. I need to get better on it. Rather than just feeling sorry for myself, rather than giving up, that's not what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to work on it. So that really is the challenge for each of us. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. All right? These aren't my words. These are St. John's words. And he does, again, he really talks tough here. And the truth is not in him. For whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. This is the way we may know that we are in union with him. Whoever claims to abide in him ought to walk just as he walked. Well, how did Jesus walk? You need to look at the Gospels, and we see what Jesus did. And this is why it's imperative to get used to reading the Gospels every day. The Gospels have a prominent place. Catechism talks about this too, in the pages of sacred scripture. The Gospels stand above the other readings. Everything is good, but the Gospels, they're number one. We should be really familiar with the Gospels. Because when we do that, we become familiar with Christ. And then John goes on to say, I'm writing no new commandment to you, but an old commandment you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you've heard, and yet I do write a new commandment to you, which holds true in him and among you. For the darkness is passing away, the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light, yet hates his brother, he's still in the darkness. See, John's talking to people like me, who sometimes takes for granted, or takes, maybe, let's say, sometimes I overlook certain commands of the Lord that might be a little difficult. I kind of use selective reading, you know what I'm saying? Or selective listening, however you want to say it. Whoever loves his brother remains in the light, and there is nothing in him to cause a fall. Whoever hates his brother is in darkness. He walks in darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So we need to remember something. These are the inspired words of God. All the words of sacred scripture inspired by God. So the Lord just spoke to us with this. Does it register? Does it make you a little uncomfortable? Well, you know, I always like to say, good. It should make us a little bit uncomfortable. It should make us squirm a little bit. That's why it's important to read the Bible and to get used to hearing the Lord speak like this. He's not always going to tell you what you want to hear. A lot of us have our favorite verses, and I've got many of them. But sometimes he has to tell you things that you don't want to hear. It's like any relationship. You have a relationship with somebody, they don't always tell you what you want to hear. They tell you what you need to hear. And that's what's happening here. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 96, "Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all you lands. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Announce his salvation day after day. Tell his glory among the nations, among all peoples his wondrous deeds. The Lord made the heavens, splendor and majesty go before him. Praise and grandeur are in his sanctuary." Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. So, yes, the heavens should be glad and the earth should rejoice. Why? Because we have a Savior who has redeemed us. It's a really, really good thing. Something to be, that we should be very happy. A piece of information that we should be very happy about. The gospel today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 35. Let me just read it. It's a little bit lengthy. I want to get it. Let me make sure we have time to read it. "When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came into the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought him in, when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, Simeon took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, 'Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes, which have seen the salvation, which you prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel.' The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the rise and fall of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" Now, this is a really amazing story. This is known as the presentation of the Lord when Jesus was presented in the temple. And what happens is Simeon was told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he saw the Messiah. Now, you and I, we take it for granted that we have a Messiah, that we are able to get into heaven. Remember, for people before the time of Jesus, this was a big deal. They were waiting for this Messiah. Simeon was told, you're going to be privileged to be able to see him. What happened? The Holy Spirit prompted Simeon to go to the temple, and that's exactly what he did. And he did, and he recognized that this is a blessing from God, that he was able to see the Messiah. And also, Simeon was used to present a message to the Blessed Mother. I think a lot of times we forget that Mary didn't have all the answers. Mary wasn't told everything up front. Mary was spoken to in many ways in the same way you and I are spoken to. The Lord would guide her and give her information as she needed it through other people, through circumstances. And, you know, she was, obviously, she had a very special role to play, but she really pursued the Lord in mystery a lot of times. And that's the way she encountered him, in mystery, even though she was the mother of Jesus, the mother of the Savior. Mary pondered things in her heart, and you're going to see that several times in the pages of the Bible. She had to figure things out. So keep in mind the necessity of doing that. Keep in mind the necessity of pondering things in your heart. This is how the Lord's going to speak to you. This is how the Lord is going to guide you. And if you want to do his will, you're going to have to get used to listening to the Lord in the manner that he speaks. That's a really important concept for us. Anyway, it's also a reminder, Mary was told that she was going to have to suffer, that a sword would pierce her soul. Mary suffered greatly, and sometimes we forget that. We forget the fact that just because you're close to Jesus doesn't mean you're not going to suffer. Certainly if Mary had to suffer, you will too. But remember what the Lord said. The Lord promised peace. He didn't promise no cross, but he did promise that he would give us peace. And he is the Prince of Peace. And the beautiful thing about his peace is that it can coexist with our problems. So you can have problems and experience peace at the same time. Now I want to talk a little bit about, we have about 5 minutes left, about the approachability of Christ. I'm going to go back to this book that we've been using throughout the Advent season, Meditations from Advent to Lent. Christ is approachable. Let me share this with you. Because I think this is a critical concept that we understand. Today's petition, let me simply kneel beside Mary and Joseph and offer to our Lord adoration and love. Isn't that a good thought? Isn't that a good thing to do during this octave of Christmas? Today, let me think of one aspect of the birth of our Lord, which is very indicative of his whole character and his attitude toward me. He was born in a roadside cave, a place open and easy of access. You don't need a calling card to enter such a cave. No uniformed butler meets you at the entrance. There are no great gates to swing open. You just walk in. And this is the way our Lord wanted it to be. Approachability was to be one of the most striking characteristics of his whole life. I see it so often during his public life as recorded in the Gospels. People can always come and talk to him. He mingles with them all the time. He listens to their complaints. He understands their problems. He hears their prayers. He is completely approachable. Even his enemies, the Pharisees, when they want to see him, find it easy to come to him. Right from the beginning at Bethlehem, he makes this very evident. I notice the first group that comes to adore him. They are poor shepherds from the neighboring fields. They find no difficulty in getting in to see him. St. Joseph doesn't ask them if they have an appointment. They just walk right in. As I kneel in imagination beside these other ordinary worshipers of the newborn Savior, I can well think about his approachability in my own case. Through his almighty wisdom and power, he found a way to stay on earth after his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, a way to stay near me whereby I can come to him most easily. His presence in the Blessed Sacrament makes it so easy for me to visit him and to consult him. I don't have to make an appointment either. I could just walk right in. As a teacher or administrator, approachability must rank high on the list of desirable and essential characteristics for me. I know that an unapproachable counselor is practically a contradiction in terms. This is not an easy characteristic for some of us to develop. I may feel sometimes a strong desire to shun the populace. And sometimes I might even want to imitate the fathers of the desert, whose vocation was not exactly the same as mine. But more often the problem is not any theoretical approach. It is rather that the patience and love needed are lacking to me. It's so much easier to sneak off to my room for a bit of peace and quiet. Let me think over the need for a kindly and sympathetic attitude toward others in my work. Most of all, I might check my interest in others. This is more or less of a touchstone in the business of influencing them, for if students and colleagues know that I'm interested in their work, their ambitions, their successes or failures, I won't find any difficulty in getting to them. I can think, too, of the kindness and sympathy of our Lord in hearing my requests and listening to my problems and forgiving my failures. How do I remember the prayer which I say each day at Mass, when with the priest I offer the bread to you, my living and true God, and for my own countless sins, offenses, and failings, and each day our Lord listens to me so kindly. Now, even though the person who wrote this book, or both of the authors, are involved in education, look, whether or not you're a teacher, we have people around us. We have our family members, we have our friends, we have our coworkers. Sometimes we don't want to be bothered. Are we approachable? How approachable are we? How patient are we? Something to work on. We all fail at times. And this is an area we can get better. We're called to imitate Christ. He was approachable. He is approachable. Whenever we need him, he's there. Can we imitate him and learn to do the same thing? Well, that's something we can work on. Believe it or not, I am out of time, God willing. I plan to be back here tomorrow. I hope you'll be able to join me. Until then, know that you are in my prayers. Remember, keep saying Merry Christmas, because it ain't over till it's over. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow night.